Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the start of Comedy Week. Do the live-action renegade podcasters have the chops to bring the chuckles to our judges? And what does that even mean? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's the start of everyone's favorite week in the competition, Comedy Week. And by everyone's favorite, of course, I mean everyone except our contestants. I've given the teams the task of creating a 10-minute TV recap podcast about a fictional TV show. Gabriel, David, and Jen, the live-action renegade podcasters, are coming off a brutal interview week judging episode and are trying to recenter and focus on Comedy Week. We'll listen in on their coaching session with Tom, and later on in the show, listen to their submission for the week. But first, let's check in with the gym. I'm here with Jen of the LARP, the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Coming off of a shaky episode, a shaky judging and elimination episode.
Have I had anything but? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I did have that one magical week. The one magical week where I was not in the bottom.
Right? Oh, yeah. God. Has it really been like that?
Yeah, literally every single week except for the second week when we won, I have been in the bottom.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. Well, this time it was a lot closer. Like, it was... Oh, that's right. Yeah, the courthouse. Yep. Yeah, but this one was a lot closer. Like, the scores really reflected how close everything was. And Ptolemy even said that of the three interviews, yours was the one that made him feel the most comfortable and made him feel the most at ease to kind of share personal stuff. So you've got
to... I love that.
You've got to appreciate that. It's almost better than getting a glowing review from Scott or Jenny is hearing the actual interview guests say, wow, you guys made me feel the most at ease.
Yeah. Gabriel and David and I pretty much, that's pretty much what we took out of it was, you know what? If nothing else, all of our research and our time spent preparing was worth it because we made him feel good. And you know what? That is our win, our little corner of win for the week.
For sure. I would take that too. And now we've got Comedy Week. So we come off of that shakiness and fun, and we move right into the most appreciated of all of the America's Next Top Podcaster challenges, the Comedy Challenge.
Yes, and I also have the added stress of the fact that the week I did win was my team did a comedy submission in a non-comedy week. and so I feel like that does kind of set a certain bar, especially with Scott.
Wow. Yeah, but... I didn't even think about it, but it it certainly could. Yeah, right.
But no, we're excited. I think it's fun to kind of shake it off and get, you know, lighthearted and silly. So far, we're trying to manage, I was out of town and then Gabriel's out of town. So we're all trying to just manage communication in working together. We're a brand new team, so we're still trying to get used to people and what everybody is good at and how they work. And
sure. Yeah, that's a tough thing because it's a dynamic that you guys are just starting to get used to. You've had a couple weeks now or a week of getting used to this new dynamic.
Yeah.
Comedy is a tough thing, too. If it's a group you're not familiar with, that is why I didn't make it right after the switch. Like, switch everybody around and then say, all right, now figure out how you all can play to each other with doing comedy.
Now go be funny.
Right. Exactly. Piece of cake. Although really, comedy comes from discomfort. So the discomfort of a brand new team could and maybe will provide some unintentional comedy for Comedy Week.
Yeah, and I think that us having our initial ideas throwing out after kind of a tough judging was good too, because it kind of just like, okay, let's just get silly. Like my mindset was, okay, I'm shaking this off and I just want to think silly things and make myself laugh right now. And that's pretty much what I started the train that... That's the track I started on, and that's kind of the way we've been going. And mostly what we're trying to do now is being like, okay, I think this is funny. Mm-hmm. Is this funny to anyone else, or is it just me? Because I think it's hilarious.
Do you want to share any of your concepts? I usually, you know, try and save that for Tom, but I won't give you any advice on your concepts. So if you want to share them, I'd love to hear them.
So we've had some fun conversations. I think one of the big debates is whether or not we want to do a fictional show or whether or not it's more fun to do a reality show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun with like silly reality show concepts. Like, I think like the Meet Your Swole Mate was like one of my more favorites, which was, you know, finding your, you know, gym loving woman is looking for her soulmate.
I like that. Yeah.
That one humored me. I don't think that one's going to be the ultimate one, but it sure made me laugh.
Sure. And the trick is figuring out what you can pull multiple jokes out of.
Yes.
You know, a one joke thing. I mean, the Meet Your Soulmate is very funny on paper and just the title alone, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but would you be able to pull out enough jokes to kind of keep 10 minutes of humor going? Yeah.
And that's exactly the reason that we're like, okay, that's probably not going to be the one, because that's exactly right. You have to make this funny towards 10 minutes, and it's something that's funny for the first minute isn't necessarily going to be funny 3 minutes later. And so it's a matter of having it broken up and having there be continued comedy throughout the episode. And I think a lot of the comedy absolutely comes from, and Ptolemy gave us this advice too, which it comes from just how seriously maybe we take the conversation about the reality show, and that's where the silliness and the humor comes from, I think. And as long as we can pull off that acting, because this is definitely very much an acting challenge.
Has to be. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I was talking with one of the other teams about Saturday Night Live. They were completely, I'm not even going to say who it was there, but they were completely kind of confused about my concept. And so I felt like, all right, well, I've got to kind of step in and make sure that they understand what I'm asking them to do. But I said, all right, well, if you think about the way Saturday Night Live does their skits, right? It's taking a mundane situation or a situation everyone's familiar with, like a game show or an office party or something like that. And then you throw in one wrinkle that makes it absurd or comical, like one of the office members has a fish for a head or has a fish head. And the comedy doesn't come from the guy who's got a fish head. The comedy comes from the character that they throw in there, who's a brand new employee to the office and can't understand why nobody thinks it's weird that they've got an employee who's got a fish head.
Yes.
He's the connection to the audience. If you make it funny, if you make it representative of how the audience would feel in that situation, I think that's where the comedy comes from. But
absolutely.
You know, yeah. It's only fair that I tell you this, because I told them that. And it kind of helped them understand what I was looking for, you know, what we're looking for in this challenge.
It's the meta, right? It's like there's like the meta, and then there's so many layers. That's like when I was trying to, like with the team when we were working on, I know I keep going back to Court's Courthouse, but it's a good example, because there was like three layers happening of what it was we were doing. You know, there's the ultimate, this delivering as funny to the judges, but then also we're creating this world where this is the thing that's actually happening. Yes. And then there were so many layers that I feel like it's that challenge again, which is nice, because I feel like, okay, well, I was successful with this before, so let's do it better. I'm going to take the note. I went back and I listened to the notes that Scott and Jenny and Jerry gave from before. And use those to kind of apply to going into this challenge. And I think that's going to help us a little bit too.
Very cool. Yeah, I think that's a really, really good way to approach it. It's almost a bummer that Jerry wasn't there to give advice on how to do this last night. But boy, he's going to be walking into a real storm with like, you know, three comedy podcasts. And all of a sudden he's got... you know, he had no prep for it. And then his arch enemy, Matt Flanagan, is going to be there as well.
Oh, I know. I was laughing so hard as soon as you announced that. I'm like, oh, geez. But no, it's going to be fun. And I respect Jerry's opinion when it comes to comedy. I mean, he's known for understanding comedy and what makes things funny. And that's why it's definitely a tall task to deliver anything to him and just hope that it's funny.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. At least, you know, if he can tell that, you know, how it was intended and how it was meant to work, then he's going to be gracious about that. But yeah, if you can get him laughing, even better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hard work. I do appreciate that throughout most of the competition. I do feel like hard work has definitely been has been appreciated by the judges. And I can see that there are points for that, too. So it is nice that obviously the execution isn't always perfect, but there is that appreciation for at least putting in the time and the effort and the hard work.
Right. Exactly. Well, cool. Well, I can't wait to listen in on your session with Tom tomorrow and see what you guys come up with at the end of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Brian.
Let's listen to their coaching session with Tom Merritt.
All right, folks, as we move into these later weeks, I'm going to continually start these sessions with, if you want to talk about anything from last week, bring it up. Otherwise, we'll just focus on the next one. So here's your chance, or not.
Yeah, I'd maybe like to hear just a quick version of, since we got last.
Yeah. it's tough with these interview episodes. When I was listening to them, I noticed that everybody's interview kind of in my memory is the same because you had the same guest. So I think that's why Brian decided not to eliminate anyone this week, because there it's just real small shades of difference from one to the other. And I didn't have any significant problems with what y'all did. I thought it was a good take on putting it together. So, I'm trying to look at what the judges said about you. Hold on. Maybe give them a couple of
overall remark was, I did not recall your podcast.
Oh, that's right. I said, yeah, I have no memory. Give him some injury time at the end, Ibbit, for me fumbling around trying to find this.
Will do.
you got some good things out of him, like finding out he was on Hitch. It's very similar to one of the other entrants, of course, and I think that probably caused them to just maybe flip a coin in their heads. But I thought you got some great stuff out of him. So it's in the packaging where you came in last is my guess. You maybe just needed to tighten up how what your take on that episode was, and maybe think of a different way to package it, because I think the interview itself was super strong.
Oh, thanks.
Pat on the back, David. It was good. So going into comedy week.
Yeah.
Packaging a TV recap show, and 2 out of 3 of us don't watch much TV or listen to recap podcasts. So advice to start with.
Okay. I know from previous weeks, there's some proclivity to want to write stuff, to do some parody stuff. So really, if you don't watch TV shows, this may be an advantage for you. Turn that to your advantage. Go find some recap shows. You'll have totally fresh eyes. You'll see the things that are ridiculous about them. You'll see the things that are silly about them that people who watch and listen to them all the time won't. And then parody that. Turn that into, this is not that different from some of the earlier challenges, in that then you just need to construct a fake version of this. And the bonus is, you don't have to know anything about a real TV show. So not watching TV isn't even a disadvantage. You just need to be able to create a plausible sounding television show. So that would be my advice, is like, take those as pluses that you're not steeped in all of this.
Well, so about that, I know like Jen kind of wants to try to keep things under wraps. I don't think that's going to benefit us here.
Oh, no, not with Tom, not with Tom.
Okay. No, this is the reveal.
Brian.
This is the big reveal.
So
we're going a little absurdist.
Okay.
Bananas on bananas.
We have decided that we're going to recap a show that is basically Big Brother, but it's all cats. It is a reality show that is a house full of cats.
Okay. So,
With the same drama of a Big Brother type show.
Now, do your recap hosts like it, or are they hate watching it?
So that's actually one of the things that David wrote in that I kind of like, whereas like I'm the typical crazy cat lady, also into drama reality show type person, whereas David's like, I hate cats, but I like drama, I think is kind of your angle, right?
Yeah, I'm all about the drama of the reality show.
And are you going to have, and you don't have to have this, are you going to have someone who represents the audience that just says, this is ridiculous. Why? How did this even make it to air sort of perspective? Or is that you as the cat hater?
We were trying to be very super fanny
and just like very positive. Okay. Like we were going to go like full commit to like the ridiculousness. We're not going to call out the ridiculousness of the show. We just want that to kind of be on its own, I think, was our approach.
Then my advice, and I think that's a great approach. My advice would be to work that audience perspective in through side addresses of the haters, right? Because every show has haters, right?
Oh, yeah.
And every recap show will talk about, you know, the people who don't understand this show think X, Y, and Z. So that's your entry into doing that. Stay super positive about the show and say, and this is why the people who think this is a stupid idea don't get it, you know, and then use that as a way to show your love for the cat Big Brother.
So we were going to have kind of three sections of it, where like the first section is going to be like the two hosts just super fanning about like, oh my God, this week, I can't believe they did that. Mm-hmm. And the second section was going to be like Twitter questions and Twitter reactions.
Okay.
Would that be like a good time to bring
in? Yeah. So you keep them mostly positive, but you address a couple of the trends of people who, you know, who are upset. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Treating it like, oh, well, this isn't as good as season four or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Stuff okay. like that. And then our last section, like this is where, you know, heightening in comedy. The last section, we were actually going to have one of the eliminated cats on the show to talk to them. So it's us addressing, but this cat, the way that it's kind of written right now, this cat is super aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And so it's us reacting to its meows like, whoa, hey, ho, calm down. This is a family show.
Right, right.
Like part of it is that the cat was also like removed. Like this is a scandalous cat situation. Like this cat had to be removed. Like there's lots of that kind of thing happening. And ultimately we're planning on this being a breakdown where David and this cat are basically having an argument.
Rocket and Groot from... Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's
watch
just
your mouth,
right? And right,
easy to that perspective.
So that's good. You got to be careful that you can't play that out for too long, or people will get tired of the bit. Also, think of a surprise. Everybody, like, as soon as you do it, that's a good surprise. Like, oh, they're eliminating the cat. That's hilarious. Everyone's going to expect it to be Rocket and Groot. That'll still be funny. So figure out a way to end it that is not the way that people expect it to end. Whatever that is. And I don't know what that idea is, but reject your first three ideas of how to end this bit until you come up with one that you're like, oh my gosh, nobody would see that coming. That's how you win that, because people are going to like that you're bringing on the cat. They're going to think that's cute, but everybody's going to think they know how that plays out, which, like, of course the cat's not going to meow and they're going to act like it's, you know, saying something real. So you've got to come up with something really good to knock people out of the park. And that's a great way to end this.
I have an idea, but I feel like I don't know if I want to spoil it here.
No, don't feel like you do. Like I said, all three of you should brainstorm about five of those ideas, knock out most of them until you come up with one that you're all three like, oh my gosh, that's good. That's the one, right?
Okay. And any particular pitfalls that you'd say to watch out for in this? Because that's I feel like this is like kind of a landmark.
You've got a really good strong structural here. This week I can't believe this happened. Here's what the people on social media were saying. Now we're going to interview one of the contestants. Good three acts structure. Sounds like you can fit that into 10 minutes really well. I guess my advice for the final bit also applies to the other two, which is don't go with the expected. Don't go. Everybody's going to think they know, like, okay, you know, what could cats get into? You know, there's going to be a litter box fight. Like, again, like really, really push yourselves up to like, okay, what won't people expect this to be about? How can we turn this into something that's funny that also is different than what they're thinking? Because you've got a premise that's already like people are going to go, oh, okay, that's funny. But really push yourselves to be creative on this. And like I said, listen to an actual recap show. It's totally fair to go take the Big Brother recap shows and just rip off. And like, you know, like you may find some unexpected comedy there. Like, oh my gosh, if we just replace what actually happened with cats, that's hilarious. Like do a little bit of that research too.
Okay.
I'd also recommend production value as being super strong and important in these kinds of episodes, because when you want to have clips from the show, and so that's where you really need to double down on making it sound like it was pulled off to TV, giving it some background noise, like really go to town on that.
Okay. What about like musically or any other sonic advice?
Yeah, it's good. You're gonna have to come up with some kind of transitional music that is from the show, right? Or maybe like some kind of theme stuff. So that's tough when you can't actually use, you know, churches or something real.
Actual stuff.
Yeah. But do your best to come up with stuff that doesn't sound as stock. You know, especially with reality shows, you can usually find some driving like dun 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 dun, you know, that plays in the background, which is perfect for Big Brother type of stuff.
Okay,
I think you can. If it were me on my own out in the world, I'd be like, I could probably get away because it's parody with taking some actual music from some places, but I'd hesitate to recommend that.
I think Brian wants us to recommend avoiding.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
For sure.
Don't want to get in legal trouble.
Oh gosh!
But get as close as possible with your stock music or your free music.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
So we need to go hard on this week. You know, if we're doing like Real Housewives, it's like Real Housewives of Colony 6. You know, they're like when we finally colonized Mars. Like really, kind of the biggest idea I have right now is the reality show recap.
If you don't think it's funny, don't do it. No. Fluff and Stuff, show me right now where Mr. Tiddlewinks...
You two were in that hot tub for a while.
It can't even be the hot tub. It's got to be like, all right, Tiddlywinks, you and Fluff and Stuff spent 2.5 hours... inside the cat house. Welcome to Cats Got Your Tongue, a Nine Lives podcast.
We help you scratch your reality show itch as we discuss the show that dares to take 9 feline strangers and put them in a house together to see what happens next.
I'm Jen, a feline fanatic.
And I'm David. I hate cats, but I love drama.
We're going to break down everything the house cats got into.
As always, we take to Twitter to get your reactions. At the end of the show, a Cat's Got Your Tongue exclusive.
We're not kidding around. It's going to be awesome. Right, meow, though. It's time for Gabe's weekly recap.
Last week on Nine Lives, 7 contestants remained, with George taking the title of this week's Fat Cat after outlasting Shadow in the Cucumber Challenge. While George and Patrick Stewart seemed to focus on future plans, Jellybean and Shadow seemed far more interested in each other's past. With Princess Abigail Snowpaws making it seem her interest is in Dr. Whiskers, last week's Fat Cat, it seems she's hedging her bets on making quite the buzz around the house.
All right, I'm opening up another bottle of Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Wine, because we got to talk about this. Jen, are you excited?
I am. The drama this week was incredible. We're only 2 weeks into the season, and it's just really shaping up to be one to remember. I know you were excited to see Cinnamon go last week.
Oh, that calico can kiss my ass. If you're going to be all apathetic and half-ass the challenges, then don't even be on the show.
Right? You know, we're down to just 7 cats at the start of the episode, and George didn't even seem to miss Cinnamon at all. He spent a lot of time with Catherine Stewart this week, the two of them grooming each other for hours.
Oh, it was getting steamy in there. It was like prom night. I mean, not my prom night. If it was my prom night, there'd be a lot more crying in the back of a Honda Civic. But mark my words, George is just using the other cats to get what he wants. That's all.
You really think so?
Oh, definitely. He's grooming Patrick Stewart one moment and then telling Shadow and Fuzz Aldrin he'll do whatever it takes to stay on their good side, knowing full well they hate her, the next. He knows how to play to win. He used his fat cat status so well this week to put Dr. Whiskers on the chopping block.
Dr. Whiskers did have a rough week. You know, they found Princess Abigail Snowpaws in the arms of another cat. And then at the end of it all, they get evicted.
It's a tragedy. I was so excited they brought him back. He should have won season 6.
Still one of the best final 3 of all times. The claws really came out on this one.
I thought this would be his redemption, but he let his big heart get in the way and let himself get too close to Princess Abigail Snowpaws.
You know, when he walked in on Fuzz Aldrin and Princess Abigail Snowpaws in the sunspot, I was on the edge of my seat.
Oh, so was I, which is the only way a grown man can sit with six dogs on a love seat.
You know, I think we've got a clip of that. Can you say cat fight?
Oh, I could, but I won't. This is what we watch Nine Lives for, moments like this.
You know, can I just say it was exciting to hear Princess Abigail Snowpaw stick up for herself like that this week, though.
Oh, she was not going to let either of them use her.
Thanks to that fight, though, it could have easily been either Fuzz Aldrin or Dr. Whiskers going home this week.
It would have been Jellybean if it wasn't, you know, for the reveal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we have to talk about that.
I wish we would.
So, Jellybean and Shadow are litter mates.
Insane.
I know, and I called it.
It's insane. When we found out, I jumped up and screamed, whipping all six of my dogs into a frenzy. My neighbor was not happy about it. It was a whole thing. Long story short, I have to drive to Sarasota this weekend to record their nephew's christening. Ugh.
You know, I really appreciate your commitment to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I thought from day one that they looked similar, but I didn't want people going around thinking that I thought all British short hairs looked the same. But I went out on that limb anyway, and I called it.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't say anything on the show, because we didn't need more emails like, you know, season four with the Bengals.
Oh, Banglegate.
Only you called it that.
Banglegate is a thing, damn it.
Now, stay on task. All right, do you agree that the sympathy saved Jellybean?
Absolutely. They've been catty since they arrived, and I'm amazed they've even lasted this long.
I don't get how they can be related to sweet, quiet Shadow.
You know, family can be weird like that. You know, my sweet Randy and Ralphie.
Are those your nephews or two of your cats?
Oh, yeah, they're the two I adopted last Christmas. That's how I named them. You know, the two of them absolutely team up against Crinkle Paws and Sassy all the time, but not nearly as bad as the Siamese I had before the Bengal.
Okay, I have to stop you right there. I can only listen to you talk about non-famous cats for so long.
They have 300 followers on Instagram.
We didn't see much of Shadow this episode.
You know, I love Shadow. He acts like an indoor cat, but you can tell he's an outdoor cat.
Oh, he's the dark horse of this season.
Oh my God, remember when they took them horseback riding in season four?
Yes, that was so weird.
They're freaking cats.
This week's episode is brought to you by Litterbox. That's litter without the E, because the English language is dead. Each month, Litterbox sends you a box of loose litter because cats poop in sand and yet people still let them into their home. Right now, Litterbox has several fall scents to choose from, like cinnamon and clove, maple syrup, and pumpkin spice. So if you're just watching your friend's cat, or toxoplasmosis has made you get six of these demons, Litterbox has your cat poop needs covered. Use code CGYT for 9% off your next box. All right, this is the part of the show where our producer Gabe comes on and brings us some of your questions and reactions from Twitter. But first, Gabe, we want to know, what'd you think of the episode?
I mean, they're just cats, dude. Look, well, $20 is $20. I thought you guys just wanted me to produce this for you. Hey, look, Twitter questions. Chairman Meow asks, is it ridiculous that Jellybean didn't go home this week? # justice for Dr. Whiskers. How hasn't Jellybean been kicked off for her political beliefs?
Ooh, yeah, this is a rough one.
Yeah, I think we should just go to the clip on this one.
Oh boy, that is...
It doesn't get easier to listen to ever.
The producers wanted someone incendiary, so there you go.
All right, and Mr. Ferguson asks, how is this show still on? You could just go to your local animal shelter and see the exact same thing.
Okay, you know, I've made it very clear my feelings. I'm not going to go down to an animal shelter and be surrounded by actual cats. I need a TV screen and several hours of heavy production between me and them at all times.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's really important for us, David, to take advantage of the platform that we have right now. You know, there's so many people out there buying cats when there are so many adoptable cats at the shelter. You know, go down there, get a cat. Don't buy, you know, there's just so many little ones looking for a forever home.
Yeah, don't buy. Go steal a cat.
All right. And finally, we have a statement from Francine's mom. She says, dear fan culture, it is possible to love something, but also critique it. you can enjoy a TV show and still question and debate how diverse, representative, and inclusive it is.
I think this is a great statement. You know, Nine Lives Twitter has gotten really toxic lately.
You know, and I think it's important to note that this is one of the few shows on television right now that is representative and inclusive. I mean, for goodness sakes, this season alone, we have two British short hairs on.
And who is more diverse than the British? Well, Gabe, thank you so much for bringing us those questions.
Yep.
I'm so excited for this. Now, everyone remembers episode one of the season where Pancake got kicked off for what is now being called the litter box incident. Well, guess what? We have Pancake with us right now.
Thanks to yours truly.
Pancake, hello. Thank you so much for being here. I know leaving the show first could not have been easy.
Hey, whoa, let's just... All right, this is an all-ages show, okay?
Pancake, people are already saying the litter box incident is going to go down as one of the most memorable moments of Nine Lives. How does that make you feel?
You don't feel bad at all for putting Patrick Stewart's favorite toy in the second story litter box?
Whoa,
okay. Wow. Okay. All right, look, I know you and I agreed to be civil here, but you're being a real asshole.
All right, that's enough.
No, you listen here, you little furball. I tried to be nice despite the fact that you disgust me, but you're just going to show up on my show and act like you're just...
David, what is Pancake talking about?
That's not how I remember it. First, you took a crap on my favorite Vans and then a crap all over my marriage.
All right, David, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's real f***ing classy. She was my wife.
Okay, you said you got divorced because your wife wanted to move back to Denver. Wait, really?
I hope you get run over.
Well, what a treat. It has been so great having you on, Pancake. And that's going to do it for us today on Cat's Got Your Tongue. Remember, catitude is everything.
That was Cat's Got Your Tongue, the comedy entry from the Live Action Renegade Podcasters. On the next two episodes, we'll see how our other two teams, the Stick Figure Squad and the Banana Sock Wizards, are doing with their comedy podcasts, and then we'll sketch out the week with the judging and elimination episode where two contestants will leave the competition. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.